Well, I was flipping through the news, as one is wont to do these days, and I saw a couple pictures that I thought were kind of interesting. It's a series of photographs of a brand new super yacht going through the very narrow canal in the town of Rotterdam in the Netherlands. You can see this incredible 21st century super yacht just scraping through the town of Rotterdam, which was actually founded in, 1270? They constructed a dam on the Rotte River, but actually the town was founded by a guy named Johan Rotterdam. But in any event, here's why this is interesting. First of all, that super yacht is the product of a different world than the ancient city of Rotterdam. It's a product of a capitalist world. It's a product of a world that has grown exponentially richer in the last 100 years and 150 years, and really shows no sign of slowing down. So it's a nice contrast. But the point I really wanted to hit today was that this yacht, I don't know who it belongs to, because I don't really care that much, but I have a very good sense that whoever it is somebody who's going to be using it to travel to global warming conferences, or somebody who owns a business that'll be talking about their new eco-friendly products that'll save the planet. Bill Gates almost bought a gigantic super yacht that ran on hydrogen, which, of course, is clean burning and causes no carbon footprint and therefore is not going to destroy the Earth like other super yachts. He didn't end up buying it, but I do remember thinking, okay, runs on hydrogen, that's great. I don't imagine there's going to be enough solar power on that yacht, even if he plastered it with solar cells, to provide the electricity to not only power the yacht, but to do the electrolysis necessary to separate the seawater's hydrogen and oxygen, which means that the hydrogen had to be fueled on the super clean yacht before it left port, which meant that the hydrogen that powers that super clean yacht was generated using electricity that came from gas or oil or coal or nuclear. Just so we're clear on that. But the point of this episode today is you should really try the new Diet Woke, because this is kind of the thing that I'm getting at. All of these movie stars that are talking about things like global warming and are down with the program and talking about, you know, the oppressed and so on, they all have private jets, which they fly to their global warming conferences. And it gets better. You probably heard that the founder of Black Lives Matter is under just a little bit of heat, because she recently bought a house in Topanga Canyon for $1.5 million. This is the woman who is a trained Marxist, who brings Marxist ideology to corporate America, which they then pass on to their employees, and providing a sense of cover for large corporations by generating guilt among its employees is, as it turns out today, a lucrative business. BLM is worth billions of dollars. And so the woman who helped found BLM got herself a cushy contract with a TV studio, I think. And she bought herself a $1.5 million house. Now, here's where it's easy for people to misunderstand what I'm saying, because this is really the good news. Some people think that I find it disturbing that people own something like this amazing super yacht or multi-million dollar house in Los Angeles. I not only don't find it disgusting, it's something I aspire to, although I have to say, I think the yacht's a little bigger than what I need. But whoever that yacht belongs to provided a service to people, didn't point a gun to their head, didn't take their money without their permission, basically persuaded them to part with their money, which allowed his company to grow, or her company to grow, and they purchased this yacht, which to me means hundreds of people got jobs and hundreds more will continue to get jobs for that yacht, and the money could have just stayed in an account and just gotten bigger, but no, did some good with that money by providing jobs and services. And I think that's awesome, and I think owning a nice house is awesome. In fact, I think that if you do what you want to with your life and you make your own money, you should be able to do with it what you want. I think that's your business. So I don't have a problem with the yacht at all, and I don't have a problem with the private jets at all, and I don't have a problem with the expensive houses at all. But what I have, and you know what? I don't even have a problem with the hypocrisy, because that's why we're going to win this fight. Over the course of the years, I think I've become a decent amateur historian. And some of the regimes that I've spent most of my time studying are like the communist Chinese, the Soviets, obviously, the Nazis. And when you talk about the ideological vanguard of those movements, you were dealing with people whose commitment to these ideals was so high that they were ready to give their lives for them. Now, they were horrible ideals, don't get me wrong. But nevertheless, they took enormous personal risks, and all of their followers did too in the early days of this. And they took an even greater risk once they'd achieved power, because socialist totalitarian societies end up killing themselves, just murdering off all the opposition. But those people, at least in the early stages, were real socialists. They were real left-wingers. They believed it. When you have the person that runs Black Lives Matter spend $1.5 million on a house, what does that tell you? Well, first of all, it tells you they're tone deaf. Secondly, it tells you that their personal enrichment is more important to them than the horrific optics that come along with this. And when I say that this whole thing is diet woke, here's what I mean. If this woman had genuinely believed what she claims to believe in, and if she had her heart fully in the Black Lives Matter movement, well, she would do what I would do and what I am doing. I live in Los Angeles because this is where the crazy is. If you're going to be a volcanologist, you've got to live close to the volcano. But if I was a person who was an activist for police brutality against people of color, if you think about a real activist, if you think about the kind of person that somebody would make a movie about, starring Zoe Saldana, perhaps, something like that, then you would have a person who would live in the neighborhoods that are most affected by the sociological problem that they are trying to solve. And if it turned out that you were a serious person about carbon emissions, then you wouldn't be living in multi-million dollar mansions. I don't know what Bill Gates is worth, but it's tens, it's 50, 60, 100 million dollars for his house and his jets and all the rest of it. If you actually believed that that was causing the end of life on Earth, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it because you wouldn't want to contribute to it. But much more importantly, if you were going to be speaking out against these things, against police brutality, against racism, against global warming, then you would realize that it is fatal to the cause that you believe in to do things with these kind of optics, the things that look this bad. And this is what's convinced me, I've been convinced for a long time, that all of this socialism and all of this revolution and social justice warriors and the riots and the streets and all the rest of it, it's dangerous, it's damaging, it's killed hundreds of people, but it's not serious. It's not. It's not serious. It's not a serious movement. I was at a college 3, 4, 5 years ago, I guess, and I challenged this young Black woman in the audience who was a big BLM supporter, and I said, I care more about Black lives than you do. Oh, really? Yes. What makes you say that, white boy, essentially? My reply was, well, 2017, 4% of all the Blacks that were murdered in this country were murdered by policemen under any circumstances. If a guy walks up to a cop in a car, shoots the cop in the face, and the cop returns fire and kills him, that's part of the 4%. And if your movement is about dealing with 4% of your problem, while 96% of your problem is not even addressed, not only addressed, but absolutely buried, it's not a serious movement. And this is something that should give us all hope. It should encourage us. It should give us comfort to realize that people like Bernie Sanders, who talk about things like, oh, we should take all of this unused housing and just simply give it to the poor. And all the young people go, oh. Bernie Sanders owns 3 houses. Why is he not renting the other 2 out to homeless people? Renting? Why is he not giving them to other homeless people? Why is this woman spending $1.5 million when she could live someplace very nice at half the price? She's not in South Central LA. She's in Topanga Canyon, safely away from all the problems she claims to be so concerned around, and surrounded by white people, by the way, who, as you know, are nothing but racist murderers. That's the choice she made with the money she got for her product. It's not a serious product. It's not a serious movement. If these people were serious, they'd be living the lives that actual revolutionaries live, no matter whether you thought they were good or bad. The American Founding Fathers were revolutionaries, and they all fully understood that if this thing of ours doesn't work, we're all going to hang. Do any of these people feel, honestly, like they face those kind of consequences? Of course not. Does Al Gore think if another 10, 15 years go by and the earth is still here, habitable, that people are going to come to his house and string him up? No. It's diet woke. The people that are selling it are selling diet woke. It's all posturing. But here's the good news. This is their full court press. We know that the best conservative minds go into things like business and the best liberal minds go into politics. And my entire point is, folks, this is their A team. This is their A team. And this is it. This is what they're putting on the table. When you look at the dictatorships and the movements that actually took over societies, those were serious people. And they were not to be trifled with. But these people, these diet woke people, this whole virtue signaling as opposed to virtue thing is really kind of a joke. And the thing that should give us the most comfort in all of this, it certainly gives me comfort, is, as I've said before, when it came to the issue of young men primarily playing computer games, so it gives them a place to act like conservatives, the reason we should be encouraged by her buying this house is because the values that we believe in and that we fully accept and have no problem with whatsoever because we think they're pro-human values. Prosperity, wealth, owning your own property. We don't have to say these things are bad and then do them. We say they're good and try to do them. But if it turns out that our philosophy is so attractive to our political enemies here in America that they cannot resist sacrificing their own principles in order to enjoy the things that we are saying you should be enjoying anyway, you know, when I look at what's happening to the country, I know this is going to bring some heat on me, but I really sometimes look at this and I say, you know, if the country's going to go under, wouldn't you rather have it be under like the guns of the Soviets or something like that? Don't you think America deserves a better enemy than this? Don't you think the country deserves somebody a little more serious than this? So that leaves us with the final conclusion, and that is, why do people like us who outnumber these idiots and hypocrites and climbers and liars and all the rest of it, why do people like us who are smarter than them, who are better people than them, more generous, less hypocritical, why do people like us who outnumber them, why do we allow them to continue to use our own decency against us by trying to make us into the people who are oppressing people who we don't want to see oppressed? The hypocrisy of them buying, of Bill Gates talking about climate change and buying a giant house and a giant yacht, the hypocrisy of a woman who's saying the inner city violence upon blacks is an outrage, who then moves as far away from inner city blacks as she possibly can. The guy who talks about socialism to teenagers and makes them wide-eyed with wonder at the equality of it because young people think that socialism means everybody gets a nice car, when in point of fact, it means that Bernie gets a nice car and no one else. Why are we not using this weapon that's just lying on the ground? It's by far the most effective weapon we have. This is what we have to do. We just have to simply point to this stuff and say, no comment, huh?